This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Could endless hours in front of computer and phone screens be reducing kids' attention spans? Teachers think so, according to two new studies. CPR's education reporter Jenny Brundin is here to tell us about that and more. She stops by to share ideas and trends that are brewing on her beat. And welcome back, Jenny.
Nice to be here, Ryan.
But first, I want to ask you about the ideas of author Paul Tough. He wrote a book called How Children Succeed. The New York Times calls it one of the 100 most notable books of the year. Tough was recently in Colorado, and a lot of educators showed up to hear him speak.
Yes, his thesis is this. It's not so much how well a student performs on standardized tests that's going to predict how well he or she does later in life. It's another factor that can be summed up as grit. In fact, the subtitle of his book is Grit, Curiosity, and the Hidden Power of Character.
Grit. What does he mean by that?
You could talk about it as the dogged persistence some people have when they try to reach a goal. It's one of a list of character strengths that a couple of psychologists developed for two schools in New York. These psychologists, who Tough writes about in his book, found that 7 character traits are particularly predictive of success. And I'm sure you're curious. They are optimism, zest, curiosity, social intelligence, gratitude, self-control, and grit. So one of the schools, the Kipp Charter Middle School in Harlem, developed a character report card. Teachers evaluate students on those 7 traits, and they're given what's called a CPA, character point average, much like a GPA. And it's an integral part of discussions with students and parents at the school.
So how did these New York schools come to be concerned with the issue in the first place?
So one of the schools in New York, a wealthy private school, teachers and principals worried about their students who are extremely pushed and protected by their parents, leaving them really unable to deal with adversity. Another school, the one in Harlem, kept track of their students after they left middle school. They performed really well in high school, and so well that they won scholarships to top private colleges. But here's the thing. Once they were in college, they began dropping out in droves.
And last spring, they reported that only 33%, a third of them, were graduating from college.
That's far lower than what they wanted to see. The director of the program noticed that those who were graduating weren't necessarily the ones who excelled academically. They were the ones with exceptional character strengths, things like optimism, persistence, social intelligence. And that led to some more research and deciding to find a way to foster self-control and grit in their students. For example, teaching kids techniques for how to put things that seem like crises into perspective, or teaching them how to overcome self-destructive habits.
This leads to the question of whether schools should be teaching character, you know, cultivating these strengths, optimism, zest.
Yes, many people feel that, you know, this is really an arena for parents. But sadly, as we know, you know, it's just not happening in many homes. So once again, it's left up to schools. So these two New York schools talk deeply with students about what good character is or how to be adept in different social situations. Teachers may weave character into their lessons, for example, talking about what character traits the protagonist in a book has that the kids are studying, or having kids notice and write about those qualities in other students.
Well, at our website, CPR.org, there's actually a grit test. You can test how gritty you are. Jenny, you took this test, I understand.
I did.
What
I
was
shall
your...
not, I shall not be revealing my
results. Okay, I'm going to reveal mine. Forgive me if this sounds like bragging, but apparently my grit score is just over 4. I'm grittier than at least 80% of the U.S. population.
That's about where I stood.
Okay, yeah. Well, see, I'm glad you revealed. We're talking to CPR's education reporter, Jenny Brundin, who's awfully gritty. You can see how gritty you are in comparison at our website, once again, cpr.org. So, Jenny, let's talk about the two studies we mentioned in the introduction showing a widespread belief among teachers that their students' constant use of digital technology is harming their attention spans.
Yes. They also believe that this use is crippling kids' ability to persevere in the face of challenging tasks.
Now, these studies are based on the subjective views of teachers. Is that right?
Indeed. The researchers themselves say the studies shouldn't be seen as definitive proof of some kids' inability to focus. But scholars who study the impacts of technology on the brain say the studies are significant because, after all, teachers are the ones spending hours each day observing students. And some veteran teachers have really been able to articulate kind of the differences they've seen in generations of students over the years.
Why did you pick this particular study to talk about?
I find it really interesting that we've had this massive cultural shift in how children spend their time over the past 20 years. Really significant, so significant, in fact, that the latest research shows kids spend on average twice as much time with screens each year as they spend in school. But there have been no long-term studies of how this deep cultural change is affecting kids.
Well, isn't it just that teachers need to adjust to the way students are now?
Well, teachers themselves in the study brought this up. Many teachers say they are changing lesson plans and working harder to hold kids' shorter attention spans. They're using more educational video games and digital media, using more flexible teaching styles. One teacher felt that it's harder to get kids engaged now, but once they are, he said they're just as creative as previous generations. But other teachers wonder if all this tap dancing around the classroom teachers have to do is just compounding the problem. They worry about what will happen when kids enter the workforce and there isn't constant entertainment.
But surely digital tools like the internet help with, you know, things like research.
3/4 of teachers said search engines had a mostly positive impact on research skills. And I should say these studies aren't about using digital tools in the classroom, which many teachers do support. But 90% of teachers said all the unfettered digital technology that's outside the classroom was creating a distracted generation with short attention spans. Some teachers talked about the Wikipedia problem. Kids are so conditioned to get a quick answer with a couple of keystrokes, they're unable to work through challenging problems. Or as one teacher said, they're uncomfortable wrestling with uncertainty or curiosity. And I've heard many teachers say they've noticed a marked decline in the depth and analysis of written work.
I understand there's emerging research on another one of teachers' biggest aggravations, and that's hearing students say they're bored.
Everyone knows kids complain, and they've always complained about being bored. It's not really a new phenomenon. This research, however, is new. They're exploring just what boredom really is. And they found that boredom is really a type of stress that can interfere with a kid's ability to learn.
So it's not a case of teachers being irrelevant or uninteresting. It's something more.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are cases of teachers not being interesting, but researchers are saying it's often not what's going on outside the student. It's an interior problem. It's really about the student's inability to focus. The study shows that any stress or distraction that takes up working memory could be causing the problem. For example, students with attention deficit disorder are more likely to report being bored, and students who are tackling material that's too hard for them, they report being bored.
It's almost like boredom as a form of distraction. And that makes me wonder if anything that interferes with attention can cause boredom, like a noisy classroom even.
Yes, exactly. And students who say they're bored are more likely to feel tired, anxious, or depressed. The article in the journal Perspectives on Psychological Science stresses that both teachers and students need to take responsibility for being aware of boredom and doing something about it.
Well, Jenny, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be here, Ryan.
And we'll post links to the articles that Jenny discussed, also to that grit test at our website, cpr.org. Jenny Brundine is Colorado Public Radio's education reporter.